It doesn't matter. We all are abiding by the same rules.
The mainstream media's gaslighting machine, C-SPAN's fake neutrality, and the Wall Street Journal's establishment polished propaganda is in overdrive, framing the latest Epstein file drops and Clinton depositions as boring non-stories to make millions of awake Americans feel like the crazy ones.
So what did we learn about the relationship of the Clintons to Jeffrey Epstein?
Fairly limited information. She was adamant that she really had no relationship with Jeffrey Epstein at all. And I think her posture was just, why am I here?
I mean, I expected a lot of interesting questions today, but Pizzagate was not on my list.
Pizzagate. And this is where the body language gets fascinating. Pay close attention to what her right hand does before she even starts answering.
Pizzagate was totally made up. It was an outrageous allegation that ended up hurting a number of people, that caused a deranged young man to show up with his assault rifle and shoot up a local pizzeria.
Did you catch it? Her right hand goes astride her chin, covering her neck. That is a classic pacifying gesture. She is protecting her most vulnerable area. And for someone about to debunk a conspiracy she calls totally bogus, that is a remarkably defensive posture. And she only drops the hand when she mentions the young man with the rifle, and that's the moment she felt she was on solid ground. Facts that she could point to.
Are you aware of any files that were on Anthony Weiner's laptop in a folder that was titled insurance, life insurance, with a zip file titled Frazzle?
Is this within the scope, Mr. Chairman?
If the chairman rules that it's not within the scope.
Bill Clinton's name hits nearly 1,200 times in the DOJ release. Lolita Express flights, hot tub pics with redacted mystery women, Ghislaine Maxwell selfies, birthday notes. Bill was just being the Bill we all know.
You didn't have any feelings about young women massaging your husband.
I am not going to offer opinions or speculation about anything that I have no context for and was not there.
Of course, he plays the wistful old statesman in his narcissistic disorder testimony, reminiscing about cordial chats and Clinton Foundation trips while swearing he saw nothing wrong after ditching Epstein post-2008. Hillary clocks in at over 800 mentions, yet claims zero memory of ever meeting the guy, never flying on his plane or stepping on his island, pure stonewalling. As she deflects to Trump and dodges the 2015 Lutnick fundraiser email that invited Epstein despite supposed severed ties.
You asked me about
Epstein survivors. I'm a survivor myself. You have emails. You've denied that Jeffrey Epstein, that you tried to get Jeffrey Epstein to give money to you.
I did
but
not.
Howard Lutnick was
if
used to
If you have an email
money,
with me asking Jeffrey Epstein for money.
I have an
money.
Email from Howard Lutnick sending it to Jeffrey Epstein and his people to raise money for
I don't
you
know about
for an event.
Not to mention Ghislaine being a plus one at her daughter's exclusive wedding.
When the wedding occurred, she was with Ted White, and she was for several more years. We did not know when Epstein was arrested that she was still involved with him. Okay. I think that clears a lot of this up. We didn't know.
We don't know what they have. We don't know if the videotapes that were in these storage lockers were ever recovered. We don't know when that hacking took place, what was removed from the FBI files and documents. So there's a lot that we don't know. But what we do know is that this man was capable of blackmail, of compromise, of Prince Andrew, of Bill Clinton, of Bill Gates, the Prime Minister of Norway, we're finding out now, may have been a target of blackmail. So he had tentacles all over the world. He was working with other countries, Russia, China, Iran, Israel. Who knows what he told these individuals?
What everyday people actually saw was two serial liars, while the Epstein avalanche finally catches up with their tarnished legacy. But the American people now have the house surrounded, and the thieves are still refusing to come out with their hands up. John Bout reporting for InfoWars.
am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones' poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon. Glad everybody is here with us on day, what is it, five of Operation F Everything Up, APAC Fury, Operation Epstein's Revenge. It continues to spiral out of control and not get any better or really even any hints that it's going to get better anytime soon. It continues to be a complete and utter debacle, which is having major, major impact on American politics, geopolitics, the world over. We'll give you all the latest where we think this is going and what we think the trajectory of this conflict is. It's really just getting worse. I wish I had better news to tell you, but no, the people doing this are doubling down, tripling down, and there's absolutely no end in sight. We have, of course, domestic politics to cover as well with the results of some of the primary elections yesterday, as well as, of course, the other news that has all been boxed out of coverage over the last 5 days by the Iran war, including the Epstein file revelations, as well as just the ongoing and continuous simmer, the slow boil, the frogs being cooked in the pot of global biometric surveillance. We'll cover all of that today as well. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Wednesday, the 4th of March, 2026. Hegseth says U.S. is, quote, accelerating war on Iran, but strike at Turkey will not trigger NATO. Hegseth says, quote, they are toast, and claimed the campaign in Iran will give America complete control of Iranian skies within a week. Iranian ballistic missile strikes and drone attacks are down sharply, the Pentagon said. The U.S. war effort against Iran was accelerating as American and Israeli forces fought for control of Iranian airspace and pressed further inland to seek and destroy Iranian missile capabilities, top U.S. officials said Wednesday. 4 days in, we've only just begun to fight, U.S. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth said. The throttle is coming up, said General Dan Kane, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. However, a reported Iranian missile strike at NATO member Turkey, intercepted by NATO defense systems, was not expected to immediately broaden the war theater by triggering a NATO clause requiring other member nations to get involved in a conflict in which one of the member nations is attacked. You know, what we're learning, what's being reemphasized over the last couple years, is this entire concept of international agreements, red lines, alliances, international law, the international rules-based order. It's all a little bit arbitrary. Or rather, it's all completely and utterly arbitrary. It doesn't actually mean anything at all. I'll tell you about it later. I mean, Friedrich Merz, the Chancellor of Germany, straight up is saying, quote, Iran doesn't deserve the protection of international law. Then what is the point of law? If law doesn't apply to everybody equally, it's not law at that point. It's just arbitrary demands from a stronger force to a weaker one. That's not law. That's something else entirely.
And NATO in the Article 5 is kind of similar, right? It's supposed to be almost this robotic, algorithmic type response. One of the NATO members gets attacked aggressively on purpose by a non-NATO member. Shouldn't even be a question. It should be automatic. Automatically, Article 5 is invoked, and all of the other NATO members are obliged to come to that First Nations response. But if it's Ukraine bombing Poland to try to do a false flag to blame on Russia, yeah, okay, Poland's a NATO member, Ukraine isn't. Technically, it should trip Article 5, but we're just not going to do that. And in this case, Iran, not a member of NATO. Turkey is a member of NATO. Iran attacked NATO. But, you know, is it really something we're going to pay attention to or do anything about? I'm glad they're not. Like, I don't want all of NATO to get into war with Iran. I mean, the whole thing kind of exposes how ridiculous the concept of NATO is. What type of alliance has the UK and France and Germany and Turkey, but not Iran? I mean, Turkey and Iran are very closely aligned ethnically, religiously, culturally. So what even is NATO? It's a arbitrary false overlay on top of the reality in which alliances are, you know, held in much more personal regard than, you know, what's dictated by some international agreement. Anyway, this is going to be a repeated theme that we're going to see throughout today's coverage, is the idea that international law, international rules, diplomacy, agreements that we've been made, none of it means anything. It doesn't mean anything when you have scumbag traitors running your country and nobody holding them to account. Meanwhile, U.S. nationals urge to leave Middle East as conflict spreads. The U.S. is sending charter flights to evacuate Americans from the United Arab Emirates, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia as the U.S.-Israeli war against Iran widens. The U.S. State Department said Monday that Americans should, quote, depart now from Bahrain, Egypt, Iran, Iraq, Israel, and the occupied West Bank and Gaza, Jordan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Oman, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Syria, United Arab Emirates, and Yemen due to, quote, serious safety risks. But many flights from the region have been canceled or suspended since the U.S. and Israeli began striking Iran on Saturday. Iran responded by firing missiles and drones at Middle Eastern nations allied to the U.S., and the State Department is now actively working to secure military aircraft and charter flights for Americans seeking to leave the Middle East. I think we should all leave. I think first to leave should be the military. I think if we weren't in the Middle East, none of this would be an issue. And here's where it comes home. This is the real long-term danger of the crusade of retardation that Donald Trump has now embarked our country upon. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for the downstream unfixable consequences of this utterly inexplicable decision by Donald Trump? Because here it is. Gavin Newsom likens Israel to, quote, apartheid state, questions future military support. That's right, folks. Donald Trump just screwed up so badly. I'm now a Gavin Newsom supporter. Not really, but kind of, though. But, I mean, he's right about this, but he's certainly on the, you know, ball here. Gavin Newsom likened Israel on Tuesday to an apartheid state and said its leadership has left the United States no choice but to reconsider military support for its ally in the Middle East. I would go significantly farther, but this is what Trump has done. He is basically ripped open on his own accord, ripped open a gigantic vulnerability in his own political armor. Just where, like, literally all he had to do was just, like, enforce the law. That was it. That's all he had. He had to deport people. And, yeah, that's basically it. He had to deport people and, like, arrest criminals and throw the deep state in jail. Not only is this what the people wanted, it's what the nation requires to get back on its feet. The downstream effects for the economy and everything else would be evident and apparent and wonderful. He could have just done that. Instead, he is just handed over gigantic wins continually to the worst people in the world, psychopaths like Gavin Newsom, who simply recognize, like, I guess I'll take advantage of this. I don't know. I mean, Gavin Newsom's sitting there going, yeah, my political enemies are just, like, you know, lifting their helmet and baring their throat. Like, I guess I'll slit it. You know, it's just like, okay, I guess, why not? Again, so, okay, go Gavin Newsom, I guess. please rescue us, Gavin Newsom, from the apocalyptic suicide cult known as Israel. Key takeaways as midterm season begins with Texas and North Carolina primaries. The 2026 midterm election season kicked off Tuesday with primaries in Arkansas, North Carolina, and Texas, featuring seven high-profile contests that will set the tone for November as voters weigh in on President Donald Trump's second administration and Democrats debate their party's direction. Republicans are defending a razor-thin majority in the House, and they've already tried to bolster their efforts by redrawing congressional maps in several GOP-controlled states. Who's writing this? Washington Post. I love how they say that. Well, the Democrats are redrawing more states than we are, but they don't even mention that. That's fine. Which is funny because the Republicans did sort of start that trend, started to reorganize the districts, but then all of the other Republicans immediately got cold feet and bowed out and basically said, "Well, we can't do this. This is immoral. I don't want to win that way." Like, okay. Okay. And finally, House Oversight Committee concludes Tim Walz's administration knew of fraud and failed to act. Duh. Oh, good. Oh, well, now that we know that, should we start an investigation? I think now's the time to start an investigation. You know what I think we need is another investigation. I mean, you know, we've had 10 million investigations. This has been known since like 2015 that this fraud was going on. We've seen it on video with Nick Shirley's reporting. We could just look at the data. That's just overwhelming. And so now, but, you know, they had to investigate. Obviously, they have to investigate this. So they did. Now Tim Walz has been questioned. We have videos from the questioning of Tim Walz today. And they've concluded that Tim Walz and his administration knew of fraud and failed to act. And to me, when an investigative body of the government determines that a crime has been committed and determines that the authorities tasked with solving that crime are in fact in on the crime itself and either facilitating or barely or just merely allowing the crime to go forward, when that conclusion is found, they should be punished, right? Am I missing something here? I'm sick of these headlines. I'm sick of this cycle. I don't even understand it at the end of the day. Like, what do these words mean after all? Are we in a nation of laws, or are we just saying things that don't mean anything and don't have any impact? I mean, if you're sitting here telling me that you have found him at fault for allowing the wholesale theft of billions and billions of dollars of taxpayer money, the next line in the story should be, he was placed under arrest, he has been stripped of his authority, he is now being indicted, and here's his mugshot. Like, that should be the next... I'm just confused. We have all the evidence we could possibly need, and yet we're still investigating. We finish the investigation. We conclude through the investigation that, yes, these people are criminals. They are engaged in criminal acts continuously. And then nothing happens. Like, what are we doing exactly? We'll go ahead and cover this. We'll go to some of these videos. That was Nancy Mace questioning right there. And again, you know, just like the last time we had to watch this just... I don't even know how to put it, like, this potato with lips. Like, whoever this Tim Walz character is, this almost, you know, metaphysical, like, it's almost like a Ghostbuster villain or something. It's like, I know he's there, he's a human, but I also feel like, I don't know, he could just sort of disgorge slime at any point from some sort of other dimension. I guess he's, whatever. Governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, whenever he is being questioned... It's not even the fact that he's committing crimes. It's not even the fact that it's so apparent and obvious that he knows exactly what's going on and is just playing the fool. It is that playing the fool part. It is that righteous indignation that I really can't, I can't express, I can't enunciate. My vocabulary fails me. to properly, adequately express to you what happens in my brain when I see this. I think you'll understand it, but it goes to the heart, what we're dealing with everywhere, which is shamelessness, just pure shamelessness. The man has been caught. The man should probably be scared of going to jail for the rest of his life. He should, at the very least, express some sort of humiliation at the fact that even if he didn't do this on purpose, this is a shameful embarrassment. This is a failure on an epic level that, if he was human, would inspire some sort of guilt, you know, just feeling bad about it. But he's not even a little bit. He's arrogant. He is like acting like the offended one. And again, at the end of the day, you know, if we were machines, it wouldn't really matter, right? Somebody doesn't have to like express guilt or like, you know, whether somebody is defiant when they've been caught. It shouldn't really matter because it doesn't actually affect the reality on the ground, right? Like, okay, somebody was injured because of a criminal act. That criminal should be punished for it, held to account for it, and should be made to, you know, reimburse or you know, help the person that they hurt somehow. You know, you can look at this in a very sort of clinical and robotic way, and it shouldn't matter how they act. But the human part of me demands, like requires that they show contrition, requires that they, even if it's just symbolic, like even if they don't feel it, but they're just pretending it, I need them to bow their head and admit that they did wrong and admit that they feel bad about it. And I don't, you know, maybe this is just me. Maybe this is a personal, you know, issue I have to deal with. But to me, if you sit a person down and you say, under your watch, billions of dollars were stolen, and they go, oh my God, I can't believe it. I'm sorry. We're going to work to try to figure out, you know, we're going to get a lot of this money back. Like, we didn't know what was going on, and this is my fault. You know, obviously it wasn't, you know, if they're contrite, if they feel like they feel bad, then if I'm the judge sitting there, you know, I'm going, all right, you know, you're still being punished. You still can't continue your job as it is. But if you work with us and try to get this money back, then we can work with you. But the instant that they are caught red-handed, I remind you, and they sit there and try to talk back to you, if you sit them down and say, you got caught, all this money went away, and they go, you're just trying to do this because you think, now I want them skinned alive. Now I want their fingernails pulled out with pliers slowly. Now I want their head crushed in a vise like a medieval torture weapon. And I know, maybe that's just me, but like, I feel like we're missing some sort of human element in our society right now that allows scumbag traitors like Tim Walz to walk around. Like, he's just walking around out there acting like he's in charge and getting away with it. And it's all of this stuff on top of it. But Tim Walz is like a great example of this type of thing and these types of people. I just want the display of contrition. That's all. Just mere pretense of humility, and I'd be satisfied. They can't even summon that up. So I think they need to be taught a lesson. I think people like Tim Walz need to have the smirk wiped off of his face politically and nonviolently. Let's go to his questioning of Nancy Mace, because I think you'll understand where I'm coming from here. Clip 21.
We are staying on Capitol Hill, folks, and there is Governor Tim Walz facing questions from Representative Nancy Mace. Let's listen in.
Do you know what a woman is?
I'm the governor of Minnesota, Congressman.
Do you know what a
woman
is?
I'm not here to be your prop for your obsession.
So if you can't define what a woman is, you certainly can't define what fraud is. If you can't even define what a woman is, you can't define fraud. How much money was spent on autism in Minnesota in 2017, Governor?
I don't have those numbers in front of me, Congresswoman.
Did you prepare for this hearing today?
I did. I take Congress seriously.
And you've seen the numbers about autism fraud in Minnesota. So we're going to do some Minnesota math with you today, okay? Are you ready? How much money was spent on 2017 for autism in Minnesota? How much?
I don't know. I wasn't the governor.
Okay. Did you not just say that you prepared for this hearing today? $1 million, okay? A quick Google search or using your AI could tell you $1 million was spent. How much money was spent on autism in Minnesota in 2024?
I don't have the number in front of me. As
were you governor
in
2024?
I was, but I'm not the
okay,
head
so
of the
your excuse before that you didn't know what 2017 autism numbers were because you were not governor, and today you can't answer the numbers about 2024 as governor, and you still said you prepared for this hearing today. It's unbelievable. $343 million was spent in 2024. What percent increase is that from 1 million to 343 million? What percentage increase is that?
I'm not here to be your prop. Go ahead and tell me.
Are you governor of Minnesota or not?
Yes, I am. I'm not.
Well, when I'm governor of South Carolina, you can sure as hell bet that I'm going to know the math. The math is 34,200% increase, an increase of 343 times what it was in this time period. Do you know the number of children in Minnesota?
I know that Minnesota ranked as a top three state for children in the last year.
What is the total population in Minnesota?
5.7 million.
Okay. What is the total population of children in Minnesota?
I don't have the number in front of me right now.
Are you governor of Minnesota?
I know 400,000 were cut out of health care last week by the actions you made.
Are you governor of Minnesota?
I am.
And you don't know the number of children residing in Minnesota?
I don't have the specific number. It's 5.7 million.
That's your total
what
population.
What is your age? What is the age? 0 to 5? 0 to 19?
You have approximately 1.2 million children in Minnesota.
What
I'm
age?
Not even governor of South Carolina. Our population in South Carolina is 5.5 million. We have approximately 1.1 million children under the age of 18 in my home state of South Carolina. Okay. As governor, I expect you to know this information. Thank God you're not vice president of the United States. Do you know approximately how many children in Minnesota are autistic or on the spectrum?
No, I don't have that number.
Okay. Well, if you take the CDC's roughly 1 in 36 kids are on the spectrum, we're talking about approximately 33,000 kids. In South Carolina, it's about 31,000 or so. What is, do you know what this is per child spending-wise in the fraud for autistic kids in Minnesota?
Again, I'm not here to be your prop. Go ahead and tell
us. This isn't, is doing Minnesota math a prop? This is math. We're talking about fraud.
Minnesota ranks at the top. Where does South Carolina rank?
We're talking about money.
Where does South Carolina children rank on healthiness?
These are my questions for you. It doesn't go the other way around unless we're debating on the debate stage. But we're not.
If you're asking questions about being governor, it does.
I'm asking you questions about being governor of Minnesota, which you can't answer. This is basic math. And you can't even answer. Do you even care about kids in Minnesota?
They rank near the top in every category. My children are fed. My children are housed. My children have
health care. My children getting the services they need in Minnesota.
My children have the best schools.
No, you don't. Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
I mean, again, it's just like, you showed him. I mean, she's right. It's just like, what is this? The House over again. I'm going to read the headline again. The House Oversight Committee concludes Tim Walz's administration knew of fraud, failed to act. Okay, this isn't just, you know, you saw somebody getting mugged across the street and you failed to go, you know, stop them. This is you're a police officer and you're watching somebody get mugged. It's not just they failed to act. They had an obligation to react. Their failure to react, their decision to deliberately not punish the crime and instead allow it to go on makes them accessories to the crime. Why are they being questioned and not charged?
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at theAlexJonesStore.com. It's one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry
has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalist. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalist. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigly. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, you keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesStore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals with everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. As I'm just going through my stack of news here, and I'm separating, basically, we have two types of stories. We got the war with Iran and everything else. So we'll get into the war with Iran here. We will tell you the latest and where it goes and the just latest crimes against reason and logic and reality that are being committed by world leaders across the globe. And we will get to that in just a second. But the stories that aren't about Iran sort of explain why Iran makes me so angry. Because all of the stories not about Iran are about how our country is being ripped apart by the seams and is unrecognizable from only a few short years ago and only getting worse. And gigantic culture-rending problems going totally unaddressed while we bomb Tehran for no particular reason. Again, we will get into that because, I mean, there is just no strategic anything going on. We're just killing people to see what happens, I guess. There's no end in sight. It's insane. But this is what's going on in America while we are. And you know, maybe I need to pull in some of the videos. You know, they make these videos where it's like, here's what it was like during the first wave of Operation APAC Fury. And it's like, you know, all of these tankers and these precision guided bombs, the bunker busters, the multi-million dollar missiles, each one. And it's just like every word of their description of this equipment is just another like slap in the face, another reminder of how far down the priority list just basic American concerns are, that we have just magical capability. We can do anything. Like the American government, just infinite resources, infinite capabilities, can do anything we put our mind to. Meanwhile, you know, you have to pray to God that your mother isn't stabbed to death by some criminal that's been arrested 45 times in 15 years. He's from Senegal, shouldn't even be here in the first place. It puts everything else in context. So, from Greg Price, murder of Stephanie Minter in Fairfax, Virginia has turned into an unbelievably massive scandal. A newly released email shows the Fairfax Police Department warned Commonwealth Attorney Steve Descano's office about the this past November about releasing illegal alien repeat offender Abdul Jola back into the community. They said, quote, "It's not a question of if, but a question of when he will maliciously wound or worse again." And they were right. He murdered Stephanie Minter at a bus stop last week. Steve Descano and Abigail Spanberger have blood on their hands. So again, it's not like, I don't know, yesterday, the father of a school shooter got convicted and sent to prison for murder. That happened yesterday. Steve Descano and Abigail Spanberger should be charged with murder. They should be in jail for murder. When they're told by the people whose job it is to advise them on whether or not to let somebody out, they say, if you let this person out, they will harm an innocent person. They know that's the case. They still let the guy out and he murders somebody. He ends somebody's life. He shatters a family. Again, you just can't even fathom the amount of like psychic trauma and terrorism these people wrought on a daily basis. So, okay, that's one headline. By the way, the guy had been in jail no less than 30 times. He was an illegal immigrant, and he's literally being told, they say, unfortunately, based on the station's numerous dealings with him, again, I want to share my concern that it is not a question of if, but rather when he will maliciously wound or worse again. Unfortunately, my concern came true after you and I last met with his last violent attack. And you know, there's another video earlier this week. I should have pulled it in because I've been talking about this forever. And it was a father who is basically, it's in a courthouse, and he's in a courthouse hallway beating the crap out of somebody who, I believe, murdered his son. And basically the person got out without bail and, you know, was free and was like smirking at the guy. And the guy just thought, screw it, I'm going to get justice now. And like, we're going to see a lot more of this. And like, frankly, again, I probably shouldn't say it, but like, if I was the family member of this woman, and like, I, you know, I'm not saying they should do this, but I mean, yeah, I'd be mad at the murderer, obviously. I'd be more mad at the judge. I'd be more mad at the people that let him go. Right? I'm mad at the rabid dog. I'm more mad at the person who let the rabid dog into the preschool, right? So yeah, here's the father beating up the guy who, of course, was getting away with it and smirking and knowing that because of our lenient, liberal, dumbass judicial system, he would get away with it. I say let the dad do it. Get off him. Let him lynch the guy. The government's not going to do it. The authorities aren't going to do it. Look, here come the police to rescue the murderer. I mean, hell, if we're going to have a collapse in law and order, let's have a collapse in law and order. I'm sick of anarcho-tyranny. We can do tyranny or we can do anarchy, but we're not doing this split difference thing. So again, I like, to me, if I learn that there was a guy who should be in prison, who'd been arrested 30 times and been let out by some bleeding heart liberal. Like, they're the ones I'm coming for. I'm not, you know, yeah, some, you know, 50 IQ barbarian wandering around. Yeah, he's going to make me mad. But no, it's the libtard judge that's going to get my ire. So I don't understand how that hasn't happened yet. 30 times this guy's been arrested. Let's move on. Justice Department, under pressure from Trump, fails to build auto pin case against Biden. So it's like, do you see a disconnect? Do you see the disconnect here? It's like, okay, you want to start a senseless, baseless war overseas, kill God only knows how many innocent people, foreigners, for no reason whatsoever. You're going to get Americans killed. We've already, the Iran war has already cost us at least $2 billion, probably significantly more with a number of billion-dollar radar arrays that Iran is taking out with its $20,000 drones. And that just happens. And they just do it, and it doesn't matter what the population thinks about it, doesn't matter what the Constitution says or the Congress, it just happens. But try to do literally anything for the American people. Try to hold any deep staters to account or get criminal charges for any of the infinite number of crimes that the Biden administration committed. And we just can't do it. Just can't do it. Kilmer Abrego Garcia is still in this country. And the DOJ is just going, yeah, that whole auto pin thing, you know, where a bunch of people who weren't elected usurped the power of the president and started using it for their own ends in total secrecy and abject violation of the laws governing the highest office of our country. You know, whatever. We can't do anything about that. Sorry. It's just, okay. The Justice Department, in wake of calls by Donald Trump to criminally investigate former President Joseph R. Biden Jr., scrutinized whether Mr. Biden and his aides broke the law in using the auto pen to sign presidential documents, but was ultimately unable to move forward with making a case, according to three people briefed on the matter. The department's failure to build a criminal case against Mr. Biden and his aides is the latest example of its increasing inability to follow through on Mr. Trump's demands and bring indictments against those he wants to be criminally targeted. You know, and to me, it's like, it's really not that hard or difficult to do this if you just had the balls to do it, the guts to do it, the fortitude to do it, because it's a simple matter of, like, you give an order, you say, here's the timeline, you have 1 week to do this. If you don't do it, I'm bringing somebody else in, and they're going to go after you for your failure to do this, because this is not a matter of incompetence. This is not a matter of, we tried really hard and just didn't, you know, couldn't get it done. Like, it'd be unfair to punish somebody if that was the case. No, these are traitors. This is deliberate malfeasance. This is deliberate subversion going on. So, like, the what needs to happen is, and again, it's like, it's not even a debate. It's not even a question. Even more so than the Tim Walz thing or anything else. This is another example where it's like, you don't need an investigation. It's just known. We just know that he used the auto pen to sign things that they did not have approval for. We have it in their own words that this is the case. We don't even need an investigation. When they're like, we tried to bring a case. No, they didn't. At all. And if they did try and fail, then fire them, bring other people in and try again, and then try again, and then try again until you get it, because they broke the law and they're not being punished. And if Trump was the guy that we thought he was, then not only would he have gotten this done or fired the people that weren't getting it done, he would know that, like, the American people, I mean, at the end of the day, this is the situation that we're in. The Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, like, lay it out as to the situation that we are in. When the government is no longer fit for purpose, when it no longer serves the ends for which it was built, it has to be removed, eradicated, and destroyed. They lose their legitimate right to authority. They have lost their legitimate right to authority, meaning that just because they are wearing the nice clothes and walking around marble buildings in Washington, D.C., does not grant them authority over a dude in overalls in a cornfield in Iowa. They're the same morally as to who has authority over the other. So if I was Trump, or if Trump was a real man, then he would go, if this isn't getting done, we have a deep state that is committed incontrovertibly insane crimes. The Epstein list, the Russiagate collusion, COVID-19. I mean, it goes on and on. And if Trump was a real president, like George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or William B. Travis or Sam Houston or Andrew Jackson or Abraham Lincoln or literally any of the great men that could serve as models in American history who did stuff like this, then he would say, you have to go after these people. You have to charge these people and they have to go to jail. Or otherwise, I'm just going to call for the militia. I'm just going to say, hey, Trump supporters, these people are not doing what I say. They have lost the right to rule over you. This is no longer a legitimate system. Your votes cannot control this government because you voted for me and they're not listening to me. So it's time to make them listen to me or eradicate them or get them out. Burn it down. That's what should happen. This government doesn't have a right to rule anymore. It does not. Its purposes are at odds with its design. So Trump actually has every valid excuse to literally reorganize the government into, if anything, like an imperial structure, to where he just goes, this can't work anymore. This doesn't work anymore. Every system of our government is so thoroughly corrupt with you people that it is impossible to deal with this internally. So I'm making a new external bureau. It's called the Praetorian Guard, and I am hereby granting them authority over you. And they have one job, one task that I'm assigning them with: root out corruption at all costs. Spare no one, spare no expense in the investigation. And the watchword is speed. Get it done now. And then you'd see a lot of people fall into line really quick, if just the threat of that. But if they don't fulfill, then you just do it. Obviously, he's not going to do that. I mean, I'm just fantasizing at this point, but I'm trying to illustrate like where we are at this point. If the government's not putting criminals in jail and allowing them out to murder your family members and not even paying the price for it, when they refuse to even try to punish the people inside the government who have committed outrageous and blatant crimes against the American people, what is the purpose of the government at that point? They're failing to uphold the most basic functions of the concept of government, of government as a metaphysical concept. Again, House Oversight Committee concludes Tim Walz's administration knew a fraud, failed to act. Okay, great. Is the fraud still going on? Probably. I mean, they're both still in power. Neither one of them's paying any price for it. And by the way, there have been situations here where they charge the criminals. They charge the fraudsters, the Somali fraudsters. They have a court case with a jury. The jury convicts them. Then when it goes to the judge for sentencing, the judge just throws the conviction out. Why do we have a system? What is the point of any of this? Do you have any idea? Because like, it's a big fraud case. The investigation, the lawyers to build the case. I mean, so many resources, so much time and trouble and effort going into like getting a conviction. And there's just some dumbass liberal judge that just goes, I just want to let this guy go. And so he gets let go. And it's just, what? I don't know what new system we need, but we need a new system. We need a new hardcore system managed from the top down by American Christian men. This has to end. Okay, so we can't do anything about the tens of billions of dollars of open fraud just bankrupting us on every side. And the outcome of the Republicans' utter and outrageous failure to do anything positive for the American people, period, is obviously going to result in everybody abandoning the Republicans. Why should we vote for Republicans? Why should anybody vote for Republicans when you're just less effective Democrats? You're just worse than the Democrats. It's like that Governor Stitt I was talking about the other day. It's just like, I don't believe that the Democrats are trying to replace our population. You know, we need to work together on it. It's just like, go away. Go away. You're worse. You're worse than the bad guys. And so, of course, Republicans are going to lose. We're going to lose elections across the country. After a primary win, will James Tallarico fight for justice in Texas? Texas Rep. James Tallarico's victory in a heated Democratic Senate primary on Tuesday offered a potential bright spot to the Senate, to the state's progressive organizers, not necessarily because they prefer his policies, but because some see him as more malleable than his opponent, U.S. Rep. Jasmine Crockett. And even this, you know, the only reason he ran was because he lied about his interview being canceled on Colbert. But, you know, again, doesn't matter. They just lie with impunity, trusting that the audience they're lying to is too stupid, ignorant, disconnected to know or care they're being lied to. So they're going to get away with it. It's just literally there's everything collapsing. And the Democrats, I don't know the end tally, but certainly all day yesterday, Democrats were far exceeding Republicans in vote totals for the primaries. And it's almost certainly just has to do with, Republican excitement. What is there to be excited about? Who cares? Our country is being utterly dismantled, and boomer, dumbass Republicans who refuse to do anything about it are worse than the people doing it. They really are, because they give you a false sense of hope. They act like they're going to do something about it, but they don't. Yeah, to be honest, I feel bad for Jasmine Crockett. Jasmine Crockett got screwed there with the whole Colbert stunt. She absolutely got screwed by her own party. I mean, whatever, she deserves it. Who cares? Meanwhile, ICE is using mass surveillance on American citizens and activists, according to NPR. So this is the thing. We don't get deportations. We do get the massive digital biometric surveillance grid ostensibly predicated on the deportations that aren't happening. So instead, we're literally just building our own prison. We are literally just building the infrastructure for the AI surveillance grid to enslave us electronically forever, all predicated and justified by our desperate need for mass deportations. Only the mass deportations aren't actually happening. We're just getting the bad parts. We're just getting the restrictions and the surveillance and the censorship and the jackbooted thugs walking around American streets with impunity. We're not getting the deportations that it's all predicated on. So, I mean, and we can go on about this. I mean, I really do think that they are just going to start using ICE to go after like anti-Semites or whatever. So that's just a little smattering, a little collection, a little taste of some of the non-Iran news. And it's just, I just get the image of, a beautiful, American girl doll, like some really well-crafted porcelain doll being fed into a thresher, being fed into a grinding machine of some sort. Like that's just America at this point. We're just being ripped apart at the seams. We're being torn apart from every angle by the criminals, by the fraudsters, by our own quisling, scumbag, coward retards in charge, by the Democrat mainstream media collaboration. Meanwhile, all of the power and authority and expertise and resources that we have are being poured endlessly into supporting a genocidal little rogue nuclear state called Israel in the Middle East. And it's like, when is the breaking point? When do we say enough? Why are we taking this? Why are we allowing this to happen to our country? And when you look around and it's just like, yeah, it's just this. It's just like idiots wriggling around and just like, as we just spiral downwards, as we just roll down the hill into the abyss through the, you know, gaping chasm into hell. It's just outrageous. It really is beyond outrageous. And again, I don't know what we have to do to get out of this, but I think the first is like, talking about it like this, understanding at least in some small part where we are. Let's go to clip 24 here, because if you think I'm joking about where we're going and about, you know, combine all of this together, right? They won't go after the criminals, but they are surveilling you constantly. They can't deport everybody, but they are building gigantic concentration camps and empowering, you know, local federal police to act locally. They're building AI centers to you know, an unhealthy degree as we rely greater and greater on that. And now, apparently, according to this woman, they're updating the census to ask a few more questions than they used to. Let's go to clip 24.
But if you keep saying, just a heads up that the government is running a test census for the 2030 census, and they are asking you some very invasive questions. A census lady came to my house on Saturday, and I'm still uncomfortable about it. From what I talked to the lady about and what I found on Google, they're not doing this everywhere. It's just specific locations because this is a test census, not the real census. Just like the normal census, you're going to get envelopes in your mailbox saying that you need to fill it out. If you ignore it long enough, they will come to your house and they will ask you the questions in person. I did the census. I worked for the census in 2020. So when she came to my house, showed me the badge, had all the stuff, I was like, okay, this is legit. I don't feel like someone's trying to rob me, but it was intense. She was a really nice lady, don't get me wrong. When I did it in 2020, it was literally just how many people live here and how old are they? Like it was very short. This one, I'm not exaggerating, she was here for at least 15 minutes. It was not small talk. The whole 15 minutes was asking me questions. So if they come to your house, say you wanna do it on the phone, and then just don't ever do it on the phone. Otherwise, they'll come in and they'll ask to come in and ask you all these questions. I said yes because I thought it was just the ones that I knew. I did not know it was this involved. There were different sections. So it started off with what I knew, and then it kept going. And then I was like, why are you still in my house? So there were ones like, how many bedrooms, how many rooms are in your house? How many of those rooms are bedrooms? Do you share a septic? Do you have Wi-Fi? What kind of Wi-Fi is it? Do you have a laptop? Do you have an iPad? I'm not exaggerating. Like, things just kept going. How much is the value of your house? What are your property taxes? How much interest are you paying? Do you have a mortgage? How much?
Folks, they're trying to catalog the entire American population and all of our natural resources to feed it into an AI to create a parallel shadow AI world where your digital twin can, you know, be fed information to see how well you can be manipulated.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at theofficersword.com and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.